Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We left off talking about knowing ourselves according to our temperament hinders our purpose now. When we don't understand our temperament, we can't relate to God because we really are allowing that filter of our temperament to stand between us and Him. So our goal is not to get rid of our temperament. It's to have our temperament freed from flesh, from that filter around it. You can think of flesh as like a layer of barnacles or crud that develops on a sunken ship. Your temperament has been exposed to things that are just not part of its makeup. And so it has developed its own ways of getting life. Sort of like a potato, if you leave it out too long, it will start to send out roots. Now, it's not in the ground, but it's trying to grow, and so it'll send out those roots into the air. It's not going to grow, and it changes the whole makeup. It turns the potato acid, and it, because it's putting all its energy into its roots, trying to get life. But now if you planted those roots, they'd grow into more potatoes. For us, what we're wanting to do is instead of sending out our roots, trying to get life out of whatever's available, we want to be sending our roots into God to get the true eternal life that's available to us through our spirit. So if we don't understand that, very often, all we try to do is we try harder. We try something different. We try another resource that's available to us. Rather than recognizing that spiritually, our needs are already met. And in our soul, all those soulical needs are met in God. So it's not that we are in the process of trying to get our needs met. It's they're already met. But if we still continue to try to go and get them met, basically under our control, our way, our choice, we are going to interfere with God's way of making Himself known to us and meeting our needs. So we want to learn how to do things His way. And in the process of that, our temperament is freed. It's freed from those hindrances. And we become a clearer, in our soul, we become a clearer expression of what God made our temperament to be. It's a process. It takes a while. But if we don't understand, if we are believing that it's our job to create our identity or live our lives using our strengths and hiding our weaknesses, we will be distracted from our true identity, which is a spirit identity. So before our soul, our temperament can be fully available for the Lord to flow through and to be able to receive from Him, it must become unencumbered by our flesh. Now, our flesh is something very personal, and we need to take personal responsibility for it. You can blame anybody you want, but it's just not going to change anything. Until we take responsibility for our own flesh, we're not going to be able to submit it to the Lord so that He can remove it. Next, we want to talk about how God uses circumstances in our lives. And if we don't understand how He uses circumstances, the everyday things that happen in our lives, if we misinterpret what He does through our daily lives, we are hindered from entering into His rest and accomplishing God's true purposes for us here now. If you wear a watch and your watch stopped, or was, you know, the battery is running down and it starts slowing down, it starts getting off time, but you didn't realize it. You still went by that watch. You would be believing a lie because it's no longer telling the truth. You just wouldn't know. You'd start showing up late for things. And that's how you'd find out your watch had stopped, is you'd be late. It'd be by the circumstances in your life. And that's how you'd find out that you'd been believing a lie, is it doesn't work. Likewise, God often allows things to go wrong in our lives to reveal an area in which we're believing a lie. And that lie can be about who we are, who God is, and who others are. The point is that we all have them. We are all believing lies. Nobody on this earth yet, since Jesus, has known all truth in their soul. No, every Christian in their spirit does. So we're glad to have that comfort that all truth is available. And if we don't understand this, that the circumstances God has in our lives, and we've spent a lot of time on this before, but if we don't understand that the circumstances in our lives are there to show us where we're believing lies, where we're wounded, we will be distracted by those circumstances. In another series, we're talking about God, his visits, his way of revealing himself, and the many different ways he uses that we want to increase our awareness of those, but we don't want to be distracted, because the purpose of God's knocking, of his calling our voice, of his showing up, is not to call attention to the knocking. It's calling attention to him. So when we are seeing circumstances in our lives that are causing us stress, causing us anxiety, or we see a repetition in our life where every time we get to a certain point in a relationship, for instance, we back away, or every time we try to make a decision in a certain thing, we give up, or we just pick whatever's the easiest. When we start seeing the same trends in our life, that's a signal, a flag, a circumstantial flag that maybe there's something that the Lord wants to talk to us about or needs to talk to us about. It's an area of our lives where that's not becoming under the control of our spirit. It's still functioning on its own. If we don't understand the way God uses circumstances in our lives, that we are to respond to those circumstances by turning to Him. Lord, is this something you're trying to get my attention about? What's your truth here, Lord? Lord, is that you? We'll miss the opportunities He's created to give us more of His life in our soul, to direct us, to encourage us, to heal us, to reveal Himself. So we want to be aware of the everyday circumstances, good and bad, and recognize that God is so big and He loves you so much that He's doing absolutely nothing but spending every single second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every decade, of every century, doing nothing but arranging every circumstance in your life for your good. So there's nothing in your life that has not been arranged by God. He doesn't do whoops. He only does the best for us. Now, sometimes those choices, those circumstances, cause us pain. And we've been also talking about forgiveness, about how recognizing that sometimes the things God does in our lives cause us pain. It's not, He doesn't do that for the sake of causing us pain. Oh, let's cause someone pain. It's that sometimes the lessons we learn are painful. They cause us to make uncomfortable choices. And one of the things that we all need to get over is that idea that if we are making right choices, everything will be easy. Sometimes there's no good choice. Sometimes there's no choice in which we will escape difficulty. You know, when you're between a rock and a hard place, those are your choices. You know, we all, think about it. And there'll be times that the Lord will bring to your attention, times that you just really felt like you can't win either way. And this is another area that we want to straighten out in our own minds, in our own beliefs, that winning isn't about looking for easy results or good results. Winning is, are you depending on God? If there's three choices in front of you, good or bad, worse, and incredibly bad, and you're looking to God to come up with a fourth, He may be actually telling you that the best choice for you is the one that you consider to be incredibly bad. So what are we going to do? We're not going to trust to our own understanding We're going to rely on God. And it may turn out to be incredibly bad. And there may be pain involved. And that's how why we're learning and why we discussed forgiving God, not because he did something wrong, but because of something that he did. A circumstance that he arranged caused us pain. We recognize that he loves us and what he did was the best for all concerned. That we don't have all the information we need in our soul. We do in our spirit, and we are agreeing with him in our spirit. So we can let it go at that and just let him off the hook. But going forward, there's going to be times when choices aren't going to be easy. And there are going to be times when no choice is good. And we think God should come in and just give us another choice that makes things easy, because we're trying to be in his will, we're trying to please him. Or on the other hand, we go, okay, well, if there is no other choice, that means God's abandoned me. Or I must have done something to deserve this. You know, or there's sin in my life, or whatever, on and on. Rather than just recognizing that being dependent on God doesn't mean that all your circumstances are going to be good. And that what they're not, it means you're not depending on God. So we don't look at our circumstances to define or reflect whether we're doing good or not. The question is, are you depending on God? That's an ongoing thing. That's that's God's ultimate purpose in all areas, that your soul would be getting its life from your spirit. Remember, your spirit's already fully engulfed and united with God's spirit. So the life you're getting from your spirit is his life. But on a daily basis, in those practical levels, those practical areas, that's where we have the opportunity to know him on his terms, in the way he wants us to. And that's also where we sometimes have the most satisfying victories. In those little things. And so often we're looking for a success or a victory in big things, like achieving a goal or getting recognition for something, or, you know, being in ministry or starting our own business or this, that, or the other thing. Achieving a level of education or accomplishment in our field. But if that's all we've got, we've missed out on the day-to-day encouragements and victories God wants to reveal to us to encourage us along the way. We learn dependency moment by moment. And as we do that, we are changed. He changes us. It's actually very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We turn to him. Lord, what am I supposed to do here? And in that simple turning, we place our burdens in his hands. It's his problem now. We've made ourselves available to him. We've chosen him. We've agreed with him. We've taken up his yoke, his work, his project. The rest is up to him. How he reveals himself, how he teaches us, how he answers that question is his job. When we say, Lord, I just don't understand what's going on here. That's all right. You've done your part. You've asked. Part of our problem is we want an answer. We want it in our terms and we want it now. And sometimes he gives us an answer. This is what's really going on. And this is what I need you to do about it. But a lot of times, all he wanted from us was the question. Again, in your spirit, you already know the answer. But in the soul, can you be at peace without the answer? Can you enjoy God? Can you sit in Daddy's lap without having the answer? You know, when you go through that child stage of asking why is this, why is that, and you're ready to drive your parents to distraction, because no answer satisfies, there's always another why. No, and that's exactly right. No answer will satisfy because that's not the point. Getting that answer isn't the point. It's going through that process of taking part in our environment, learning, being involved, interjecting ourselves into reality. And that's all we're doing when we're, God, why is this? What's going on? Is there anything I need to do? And by turning to God, we are actually withdrawing from being vulnerable. We are, in so many ways, making ourselves so much less vulnerable to our enemies simply by turning to God with our questions. Where are you looking when you're turning to him? You're looking to him. Your focus is on him. You're waiting for an answer from him. And he reveals himself in the practical areas in our lives, moment by moment. So many Christians, devoted, loving Christians, are waiting till they die to see God. That's their goal. And yet that's not something God ever said is his goal for us. We're putting off till tomorrow the relationship, the healing, the rest, and the peace that God paid for us to be experiencing right now. And whatever it is that's keeping us from enjoying that rest and that relationship, and yes, the authority and the responsibility of learning to rule and reign, those hindrances are what God is going after. So as we depend on him, we can, it's guaranteed that there will be changes and challenges in our lives. We don't have to go out and say, okay, God, what are we working on now? Just look at your circumstances. Look at your situation. What are you working on now? Now, it may seem like it's not very spiritual. It's not very Christian, that what you, the issues that you're working on. But whatever it is, if it's a distraction, if it's an interfering with, from you being able to just relax in who God is, and that's not being lazy by any means, but allowing God's life to flow to and through you. If there is a hindrance there, and God is bringing your attention to it, that's your assignment. And for any of us to say, well, that's not big enough, that's not important enough, that's not ministry, that's not Christian, that's not, you know, that's not what anybody else is working on, or that's just a little thing. We are arguing with God. We're saying we know better what's important. And sometimes it can be little things. You know, it can be showing up for work on time. We often don't know the real roots of our wounds and of our beliefs and of our actions. And by discounting any of those little things, we don't know what entanglement is connected to it. So if God has decided, circumstantially or otherwise, that this is what is hindering his purpose and your purpose, and this is what he wants to deal with, let's be respectful of him and jump on it and go, okay, God, what do we do with this? I have this thing. I don't think it's a big deal to be late to work. Nobody else thinks it's a big deal to be late for work. It's not causing a problem for anybody else but you. What's behind this? Lord, talk to me. And he will show up. He will reveal to you what your problem, what the issue is, whether it's a wound or a belief or a habit that just needs to be changed. Or it may be that that's just your way of controlling your dissatisfaction with your job. And God may want you out of that career altogether. Maybe go back to work, go back to school, go into a different line of work that's going to be more satisfying to you. And who knows, you know, 5 years from now, just by responding to God showing you you're always late for work, and yes, nobody else cares, but I do, and this is why, you could be at a totally much more satisfying position, situation in your career 5 years from now, simply because you responded to God saying, there's something wrong here. You're not at rest here. So we want to let him speak to us through those small circumstances. And if we try to deal with them, or if we try to push them aside, we are robbing ourselves and robbing God of the opportunities to be cooperative. Let's do this together with him and not force him into, okay, we get laid off or we get fired or we get ill from the stress of the job, having been there another 5 years and seeing how this is just not where God wants us. So knowing that what he has for us is the best, we can cooperate with him through the smallest circumstances. And we start with what's in the front of our face and let him take it from there. So next week we're going to be talking about our flesh. So hold on to your hats for that. But thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.